Lord Jesus, we thank you for Johnny, for her willingness to serve you this morning and come and share with us those things that are special to her, those things that are precious that you've put on her heart. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would bless her words, they would carry the power of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that we would be really good hearers, receivers of your word this morning. Lord, give us a teachable spirit that we will fully take on board all of the things that you want to communicate to us about you and your love. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Andy, and thank you, the rest of the worship team. That was really special this morning. We had an extended time of worship, and wasn't that good? I love worship. That's something that really wells up joy in my heart. And that's what we're going to be talking on today. We're going to be learning and exploring all about joy. So I looked it up in the dictionary, so it's good to know what the dictionary says. And I think Tim's going to pop it up for me there. Okay. So, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, delight, great pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, triumph. And I won't keep on going on because I'll get through half of my time doing that. But it is, I love a lot of words, glee, all of that, bliss, ecstasy, euphoria. That's wonderful. But in it, it says, of great pleasure and happiness. And sometimes there's a debate as to whether joy is the same as happiness. And as Christians, we regard joy as a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's provided to us by God. I love this word, supernatural. It's a supernatural to feel joy in our hearts that is provided to us by God. And I'm going to explore that because I was in two minds as to whether happiness is the same as joy. And so I'm going to read to you from James 1:2. Dear brothers and sisters, in times of troubles of any kind that come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. Is that what we think? Times of great troubles. And we think of joy. But this is what it says in James. For you are to know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing. So it's about finding that strength in our joy. And I want to tell you a little story about my stepfather. If we could have the next. See, I'm afraid that's a picture taken from a picture. This is before the time of digital cameras, so we've got a bit of a reflection and it's not the best quality. But the man on the left there is my stepfather, Darcy, and he was there for me when my father wasn't. Unfortunately, my father left us when I was about 3 years old. And this man here took over the business of being my dad. And he was a great influence in my life. And he was a very jolly man. He used to tell jokes. And then he used to laugh at his own jokes so loudly that it didn't matter if anyone else got it. Because that's all you could hear in the room. And he had, like I say, he was an immense presence in my life. And unfortunately, 3 years ago, this lovely man passed away. And the sad thing was as well, it was on Christmas Eve. Now, I love Christmas Eve, and I was afraid that this might taint Christmas for me, the fact that this man that I loved so much had passed away on Christmas Eve. And I went up to see my mother in Cambridge. We went to Addenbrooke's Hospital, and he passed away while I was holding his hand and praying for him. I regard that as a huge honour that I was there at that time. And I think something special happened. He wasn't a believer in God at all. But during the time that I was praying for him, I felt something. The Spirit moved somehow. And maybe in those last moments, he came to some conclusion or another, or some, you know, letting go of his pride and giving in to God. And so on the way down, as my mum and I were driving in silence, in shock, you know, still going through those moments where you of grief, and you go through all sorts of things, don't you? You go through anger and disappointment and you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And I reached to the door of our house. This is on Christmas Day. It's a great day to travel. No traffic. Got to our house. And I thought, oh no, the kids, I'm going to have to face the kids now. And they came out of the house to me and gave me a big hug and just expressed these words of understanding, of love to me. And you know what happened then? That joy, it just started to fill up in my heart. And then as I watched them opening their presents at Christmas time, the joy was there. I hadn't lost it. I could still feel grief and joy at the same time. And that's where I ask you the question, is joy the same as happiness? I don't think so. I think you can feel joy in times of difficulty. And Paul says it so rightly in Theologians 5:16. He says, rejoice always. And what is he doing? Well, he's imprisoned at the time. You know, he was being kept prisoner. He was having a really hard time as far as everything goes, as his circumstances were. And why was he imprisoned? Well, for preaching Jesus, you know. So he could have been moaning and groaning, but he wasn't. He was saying, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So he's giving thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And there you go. He's got his face, he's looking to Jesus. That's where he's got his eyes fixed. And so he can see beyond all the circumstances around him. And what does Jesus promise us? Well, in John 15:10, he promises his joy in full in us. Not just a little bit, not just some joy, but full and overflowing. He says to us, he says, keep the commandment of my Father to love each other and remain in him. That's as simple as it is. There's no complicated message there. It's love each other. I just want to tell you another story of our honeymoon. If you can put the next one. This is us, our honeymoon. Now, that's a joyful time. We went to Monaco. Both Ian and I are big Formula One fans. I know there's some more of you out there. And Monaco is the place to be, if you like Formula One. And we went to this swanky hotel. It's about a 5-star hotel. Chandeliers everywhere. It's not something that we are used to. We're used to going camping or doing a self-catering thing. You know, this luxury was beyond. We walked in and it was just like, wow, marble floors, everything. We got to the bedroom. Everything's laid out, you know, sort of like gadgetry everywhere. Jacuzzi in the bathroom. You know, we were having a great time. We were just delighting in all of these things around us. Then in the evening, we went up to the terrace and there was this fantastic pool and then chairs set out all around this pool. And then there was this beautiful banquet set for us with the chef. The chef is telling us what these things are for. And when not whatever what they're for, obviously, you know you're going to eat it. But, you know, meat and fish from all kinds of places, you know. And he's going to tell you how he's cooked it. And if you don't like the way it's cooked, well, he can go and cook it a different way for you. You know, I mean, even the pickiest of eaters would be satisfied with this. But what I was really surprised about was all the other people that were there. Because they were obviously very used to it. So, you know, they're kind of sort of a bit blasé about it. They didn't even look at this lovely chef that was there presenting everything quite proudly. Sat down, not impressed with anything. Next thing, if you show the next clip. These guitarists are serenading us. These lovely Spanish guitarists sort of dressed in this, you know, I'm assuming it's a traditional thing. And the I don't know anything about playing guitar, Andy, but I'm assuming that this is kind of quite a skilled thing to do, play these guitars. I mean, fingers were going like mad. So we were really impressed, and there were so beautiful voices, and they were going round. We were basically the last people they came to, and all the people around this pool were very unimpressed. They don't want to hear that. They were too busy talking. You know, didn't even look at these guys. So lovely. And of course, as soon as they came to our table, I tried my best Spanish, muchas gracias, and all of this. And of course, then they were there for about five songs. And they kept on going. We couldn't get rid of them. But it was great. You know, it was great. And just to top the evening off, friends, we had a magnificent fireworks display. This wasn't any normal fireworks display. There were huge blooms of light sort of reaching out into the night sky. Were the people impressed around the table? Apart from us, we were like two little kids going, ooh. The other people were, I can't hear you over top of all that noise, you know. They're trying to make, obviously trying to do a deal or something. I'm imagining they're CEOs of companies and have much more things to be concerned with than all these bangs going on in the background. But what I'm trying to illustrate here, I'm not going to judge these people. Certainly not. It's not for us to judge anybody. I am going to say, though, that I think they may have been taking everything very much for granted. And that this is probably something that happens quite regularly in their lives. It's nothing to be impressed about. They can just continue with their lives as normal, and they're not just going to ignore it, not delight in it. I mean, who's having more fun? Ian and I were definitely having more fun, I can tell you. But I just want to beg the question of those people then, and look into their lives, and think, maybe when they were children, well, I'm pretty sure when they were little kids, they would have been impressed with those fireworks. They'd be like, Mommy, Daddy, look at the fireworks. And I think this is why God encourages us to come to him with childlike hearts, with hearts of children, because we see things through fresh eyes. We see things through the eyes of kids. We're impressed with the little things in life, those glorious things that he makes, that you know, his creation. And we delight it. They delight in that, don't they? Have you ever seen a kid being really impressed by just a little butterfly? I mean, it's just like, oh, look at the little butterfly. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to delight us to delight in his creation, in his handiwork. Rejoice in that. And that's each and every one of you too. I just want to read from Psalm 92:4. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at the hands of what you have done. How great your works are, Lord, and how profound your thoughts. Because everything starts with a thought, doesn't it? It all starts with a thought. He thought of us first, and then he created us. How magnificent that is. I just want to encourage you, all of you in this church. I can see, when I look around here, people that have giftings, that are anointed. You know, we've got prayer warriors over there. We've got a fantastic worship team. We've got people that are gifted in leading. You know, let's just really look at those blessings that we've got in this church. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you in that. I also want to give you a little test. Don't take my word for it, because I've got a friend that came here and I've got a little something to say about what she said. It was about a couple of years ago, and quite a lot of you that are here now were here then. Her name's Lynn, and she's a mature Christian. And she wrote this email and copied me in to both Dave and Colin after she came to our church. And it says, I want to tell you that I have never been in such a group of people where the love of God was so apparent. It was almost tangible. These are her words. Then she gives a scripture, John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The love in your fellowship proves that you are a church of disciples. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And if you want something a bit more recent, I had my dad, so not my stepdad, my real dad came from Portugal and joined me here at church. He's an atheist. He has the works of Richard Dawkins on his bookcase. So that's, if that's proof, I don't know. And he came here and he said, he sent me an email saying, the highlight of my weekend was coming to your church. What lovely folk. And I can't agree with him more. You are lovely folk. And even when I go away on holiday, I can't wait to come back to my church family. And you know, isn't it funny that you started this meeting, Paul, with Romans 15:13? Well, that's what I got at the end of there. So I think I need to say it again, don't you? Yeah. Okay. So this is what both Paul and I, the leadership team, are speaking over you today. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for listening, and be blessed.